Okay, Lord, we just thank you for another great evening we're going to have with you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you anoint us all, that you fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Father. And I thank you that tonight we're going to be led by your Holy Spirit and say the things that you'd have us to say, and new revelations are going to come forth. You're going to speak through us, Father. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to have a blessed evening tonight. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for your miracles that you have done for us and all the miracles that are coming. We just praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to have an open heaven tonight. We command all tormenting spirits, hindering spirits out of here right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just praise you that tonight you're in charge. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? Wake up, Joe.
Morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning. Who is that? Hey, Nora. How you
Hello.
Doing, girl? It's good to see
Great,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. You look mighty fine for as early as it is over there.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Or testimony? Tim Bernard. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Michael, I was just thinking that with this group and our success we've had on prayers, it'd be nice if we prayed for Zoe as a group
okay.
here and get the healing manifested in her. So,
all right, go ahead. We'll believe with you, brother, and pray if the Lord leads us.
Yeah, just fill everybody in here. We had some visitors this weekend, and they had a little girl with a year and a half old. And she's right now she's got a cleft lip, but we're prayed as a group for her healing, and we're believing for that. But since we've had such good results here with this group of in healings, that I just thought maybe we'd all join in our faith together and pray for healing for her. So, Lord, in your name, we command a healing for Zoe, that you would make her whole, that you know it's already been accomplished at the cross, and that you can work through us and answer our prayers and her parents' prayers and give us a complete healing for a great testimony and a wonderful life for that little girl. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that that cleft palate is closed up and it's normal again. We thank you, Lord, for all the fingers and toes to be intact. And we praise you, Father, that Zoe is a beautiful little girl, 2.5 years old. Lord, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. We've been praying for her this whole time. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the work you're doing in Zoe and Winnie and Chuck in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here, allowing us the privilege of meeting them and praying for them and filling them up with the Holy Spirit. Father, we just praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Tim. I said for reminding me about that. I forgot about that. All right. Anybody else? I will say this as a praise report. There were one. I'm having to count them in my mind. One, two, three, four women, and Chuck. Let's see. Winnie, India, Karen, and Mama, right? Is that right, Tim? And then Chuck. And the last day we had, of course, y'all know we have a prayer meeting in the mornings. Now, these women are all from New York City, well, from Brooklyn, which to me, that's all the same up there. It's all concrete jungle. And none of them have a driver's license. They just get on a subway and go wherever they need to go. You know, they don't have to drive anywhere. And so none of them, and these are, we're talking about women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. you know, don't have a driver's license, never had to have one. And Chuck had to drive over here. They live in Raleigh, him and Winnie. She moved down to Raleigh when she married Chuck. And they drove back to Raleigh and then got on a train back up to New York, Amtrak, I guess. But that morning, we prayed for all of them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God just really worked some mighty miracles in their lives that morning. It was awesome, awesome time. And then they took off in a van, got up about 20 miles, 25 miles away, and broke down. But Tim and Brandy went up there, or Tim went up there, and gave him his van to drive back to Raleigh, North Carolina. They'll be back this coming weekend to pick up their van. But anyway, Tim and Brandy went up there yesterday, I think it was, and fixed her, Chuck's van. It was a belt had come off and had shredded, and they fixed it and brought it back down here. So it'll be ready to go when they come and get it. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That's what Christian servants do, isn't it? We just help one another. We keep people going. And I just praise God for the people that we have here that are our servants. Thank you, Lord. Okay. That's a good testimony, too, because them gals was blessed when they left here. All right. Anybody else got a testimony? Hey, Andrew. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony or a prayer request? I will say this. The enemy is on the move. We've had some attacks by the enemy. Even after all of these deliverances, we've had some attacks, and we're not allowing the enemy to come in and cause any problems, but I'd like to pray against that. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just thank you for the authority that you've given us. You said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that you've given us authority over all. I'm talking about all the power of the enemy. And we take that power right now in the name of Jesus, and we bind up the works of the enemy and witchcraft and all kinds of curses spoken against us in the name of Jesus and cast them back at where they came from. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that, that those curses go right back where they came from, and the people that gave them are going to wish like that. They're going to learn not to do that against God's people. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you and we thank you, Lord, for helping us out in this time of need. And we praise you, Father, that we've got a great bunch of people here that's got faith that'll move mountains. And we just praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all agree with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Fudge just jumped up in my lap here with me, and I saw her belly, and she has this red spot on her belly. I don't know what it is, if it's a bug bite or what. So anyway, I just want to pray against whatever that is. In the name of Jesus, we just command whatever is going on, this little red spot, to go away in the name of Jesus, and no ill effects in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Amen. Fudgesicle, you be healed in the name of Jesus.
Say, I am.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I got a quick praise report. Doss will probably share at the Friday meeting, but she's not here right now. But this afternoon, she came out to get me, asked me a question, and she barefoot. She stepped on a bee.
Oh, my.
Came in the house, and she was, you know, limping, and it was it had a welt already, and so we prayed against it, and you know, said she was healed in Jesus' name. And hour and a half goes by, and I says, "How's your bee sting going?" And she goes, she looks at her bottom of her left foot, she looks at the bottom of her right foot, she goes, "I don't know which foot it was on." So it is completely no welt, no mark, no nothing. And she
praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayers. All right, anybody else? Let's pray for the president. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for putting all of your warrior angels around him and his family and his cabinet, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect him through all of this big ordeal he's going through. I thank you, Lord, for giving him stamina, fortitude, and the wherewithal and the wisdom to get through all of this, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in that man. I just ask, Father, that before this is all done, you grant repentance to him, bring him into the kingdom, full of the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just lift up South Africa to you, Lord. We got a bunch of people here that listen to us, and I just pray right now that you bring down that anarchist government. And you put somebody in there that has some sympathy toward the Christians. And Father, I thank you for that. And toward the people instead of themselves. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you for bringing that government down and putting in some people that have some compassion. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay, what y'all want to talk about tonight? Who is that down there? Oh, looky there. Y'all hide your eyes. That's Don. Hey, Don, we see the top of your head. It looks pretty, buddy. Oh, he said, I turned it off in. Okay. Oh, my. Did we have something that we were going to talk about tonight? Go ahead, Paula.
Last time you asked us, Michael, where the Holy Spirit came from.
Where what?
Where the Holy Spirit
came from. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Did anybody find that out?
I think there's a piece in Isaiah, where David talked about the two different spirits, the Lord's Spirit and then Father's Spirit. I think it is in Isaiah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just check where.
All right. Well, that's kind of the answer that I was looking for. Of course, Jesus is. Go ahead, Leon. I see your hand up. No, you had your hand up. You got to tell us something.
I was just going to say that, like she's saying, the Lord's Spirit and God's Spirit. In Romans, it talks about the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God as well. So yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Andrew.
I think it's referred to as the Ekperunai. It comes forth directly out of the Father, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. That was what I was looking for. Well, we got that question all fixed up, didn't we? Now, what's the Holy Spirit's job? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, you receive the Christ Spirit, and then you need the Holy Spirit to help you to live the Christ life. And that's a real basic kind of answer.
That's what we like. We like this quick answer. Yeah, Missy. I guess you meant the...
Mine's a little similar to Andrew's. The Holy Spirit's the comforter or helper, you could say. Or, you know, like you said, you know, the power to overcome the flesh.
Amen. That's his job. He's the comforter. All right, go ahead, Leon.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the Spirit of God knowing the mind of the Father and revealing that to us. And in 1 Peter, when it talks about the divine nature in 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 1, talking about God's given us everything for godliness. Anyway, but and he's talking about you get the divine nature of God, and the way you get that is through the Holy Spirit revealing to you what God's mind is. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
All right. That's good. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn.
You know, I was reading in John 16 before we came on, and I was thinking about asking this in a way, because I'd kind of forgotten that this is what we were going to talk about. I was just kind of wondering, you know, what others might speak about this, and it's John 16, and I'll start at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And I was kind of surprised at that. I'd never noticed that, you know, Jesus saying, I will send him to you. But the verses, the next three verses are the ones that I always kind of meditate on. And I know there's more knowledge and wisdom than what I have about this. And he, the Holy Spirit, when he has come, will convict the world in respect of and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you behold me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. And then I'm going to skip down to 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak from himself, but whatsoever he will hear, these he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will declare it to you. But I guess what I was really kind of looking for maybe some discussion and some deeper revelation on is when it talks about, because he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe on me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you behold me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged.
Okay. Would anybody like to expound on that? Did you have some kind of insight into that, Marilyn, that you wanted to, okay.
Not anything. I mean, I have maybe a basic understanding of it, but I know that there's deeper than what I know. And I've just been blessed by the wisdom and knowledge that's been shared here on the outreach. And mm-hmm. I just wondered if other people might have something to say.
Okay, let's see if we get some. All right, anybody else? Well, let's take it one at a time. You started in 7, didn't you? Or was it 8?
8.
Okay. And he, when he has come, and he's not coming until after Jesus leaves, right? He's already told us that. When he has come, will convict the world in respect of sin. What does that mean? Go ahead, Leon.
Okay.
Because prior to him coming, the world wasn't really convicted of sin. They were, Paul says that where there is no law, there is no sin. So most of the world didn't have any law per se, just the Jews, and the Jews ignored it. So what he's talking about there is the world is going to be convicted of sin. Now it's going to come on the entire world. Now that's good for us because as Gentiles, we get to be convicted and come to the Lord. So,
amen. That's a direction. That's a good direction. Anybody else? How did the Holy Spirit bring this conviction to the world while we're on that particular part of the sentence? Yeah, Leah.
Through the preaching of the gospel. If you remember, on the day of Pentecost, that's what happened with Peter. He preached the gospel to them, and they were all convicted in their hearts. And then they asked, what shall we do? And then Peter told them, repent and be baptized. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
And Jesus also said that he was going to write this law in their hearts, didn't he?
Yeah.
As well, so, yep. Amen. That wasn't there before, but is there now? Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to mention 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a young man there that had to have a conviction for perhaps a while before he came to his senses and received his salvation. Because he was put under a curse there by the apostle. And he had to come to his senses.
Now where did you say 1 Corinthians 5?
Yeah. The young man there who was committing fornication there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to look for the particular verse that Here it is. It's in verse 4. He being gathered, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver the flesh to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, let the spirit be saved, that the spirit be saved in the day of our Lord. So, it doesn't say how long it took this, but if it took any sort of length of time, this lad here would have been convicted each time. These things would even come into his mind. So, and of course, probably if he repeated this matter, I don't know if he repeated it again, but he has to go through the long haul of this before he came to the total deliverance of it, because it really doesn't mention how long it actually took for him for this to happen, but he he had the apostle has this power to do this. He doesn't use this power mischievously. You know, it's something he's ordered by God to do. And so this is just one of those instances where the Holy Spirit worked to save this young lad with conviction. I would assume there was lots of conviction involved.
Well, if you're turned over to the tormentors, when you're turned over to the tormentors, yeah, you get some spankings, you get some good spankings, and hopefully that they will turn back to the Lord.
You know, there could be some people in the world like this now going through these torments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and just like you said, Andrew, we don't turn people over to the tormentors lightly. We ask the Lord, and Lord, is that what you want us to do? And make sure that that's something. You know, if you're in outright moral sin, and they won't come out of it, yeah, that's the time to do it. This guy was fornicating with his father's wife. And, of course, in church, and they still had him in church there. And that's why Paul was getting so upset with him. And anyway, he turned him over in hopes that he would at least come back to Christ. Yeah, Leah. Yeah.
First Corinthians was written in 54 AD, and Second Corinthians, where he tells them to restore him, restore that person, was written in 55 AD. So somewhere in that 1 year period, I'm assuming the guy repented, but the people rejected him, and then Paul took that up a year later. Or, in sometime in 55 AD, and then told him to restore him. So that was a question he had. He didn't know how long it took.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't researched that part of it. Okay. All right. Anything else? Well, let's go back to John chapter 5. No, 16. I'm sorry. John 16. Will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. They turn their backs on God and don't believe what their heart's telling them. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you behold me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world hath been judged. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else on these verses here to bring out some more revelation on? Yeah, go ahead, Paula.
Still on that first verse about sin, it reminds me of Romans 1, where he also tells them that you can just look at nature. There's no excuse for being an atheist. You can look at anything and just know that God is behind it. And of sin because they believed not on me. They did not glorify him as God and as the creator of everything they see. And then those lists of, or the list of judgments that follow because of that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. A lot of people don't want to acknowledge that Christ, that there is a God, because they like their sin more than they like to follow the Lord. They like their world better than they like the Lord. They like their flesh. They can't get away from their flesh, you know. Gimme, 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 you know. But that's the reason the Lord does this. It's His chosen. It's His people that gets the chastening most of all of the time. When they mess up, He's going to chasten. He said, because He loves you. And we get that whipping. And it turns us around, or we go completely bonkers, you know. We've seen that happen too. All right, anybody else on this? Well, y'all take a look at these verses for Thursday night, and we'll go back over them after we. Let's get a little bit deeper into the Holy Spirit and His job and what He does for us and how He brings us our salvation instantly and progressively. Somebody ought to write a book like that. You know, go ahead, Leon.
I'm just looking at this in verse 8. Jesus says, and He, when He comes, will convict the world in respect of sin, in respect of righteousness, and in respect of judgment. I mean, it doesn't say respect three times, it just says it once, but that's basically what He's saying. So if He convicts them of sin, and then of righteousness, and then He adds, because I go to the Father and you behold me no more, that means that Jesus is not going to be there, but it's about His righteousness. And that's one of the things that we, that's one of the promises that we gain. We get the righteousness of Christ in our lives. And even though we don't see Him anymore, He's going to be with the Father. And you won't behold Him anymore. You still gain that righteousness. So it's in the respect of that righteousness that the Holy Spirit convicts you. You change your mind and move from sin to righteousness because of what the Holy Spirit does in you. So I just thought I'd say that while it was fresh in my head, so to speak.
Yeah. And that's good.
And then then of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged, you know, and that's another key factor to our relationship with Jesus, is the fact that he defeated the enemy in all areas, even unto death, you know. And we don't have to worry about death anymore. We don't have to worry about any of those things. So in that respect of judgment, we recognize that Jesus took care of that part of it too. So anyway, that's just some things I had in my head.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? I'd like to see some more input here from somebody. George, you got any thoughts on that? iPad Judy, what's up, girl?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
I was just a quick thought that the Holy Spirit, being the Spirit of the Father, and He calls Himself the Spirit the Father of lights. And we're being fathered by him because we believe his words. And if we believe the words of the enemy, then we're being fathered by him. So it's, I just see that fathering of the Holy Spirit that he leads us in light, and just him being the author, you know, God being the author and the finisher of our faith. I see that fathering as taking us through progression from a child or a baby to a son. And I just enjoy comfort in that, I guess I should say. That's all I got.
Where's Willie when you need him?
Yeah, Denny and Debbie's having trouble getting on. Can't change a PIN or password. Give me a runaround. In case maybe someone's trying to get on to the conference call using our name. Well, I don't see anybody on there with it. Yeah, Leah.
Don was having trouble too. That's where I went at the beginning. I went off line to give him all the information again because he couldn't get on using what he had. So now he's on. Maybe you need to send a text with the new all the information again.
Quick, because I have it all on the computer and I'm bound up here. Let's see. Well, I can send it the ID number. Y'all go ahead and talk while I'm doing this. Not everybody at the same time. Come on now.
I'll start.
go ahead, Tim.
When I was looking into this afternoon, and it was kind of late, but anyway, I was led to John 7 and 37. And it talked about the Spirit, how it's going to be manifested, how it was given. So I'll just read a little out of that. It's John 7:37. And on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." But the people that believe on him were going to receive the Spirit after he was glorified. So it's the belief is a condition of receiving the Spirit, but it is a gift from Christ to all of us. So I thought that would be the discussion came up of where to come from. It's a gift for the believers. So anybody else?
I would say that those three things, the conviction of sin,
righteousness and judgment.
Right. There you go. Conviction of sin, the righteousness, and of judgment were three of the things that Peter spoke when he convicted those people on the day of Pentecost. And then after they received the Holy Spirit, you know, he works in you beforehand to do those things. And then after you receive him, he becomes a comforter then. And not before. He's not the comforter before. He's one that convicts people of certain things. But after they repent and receive the Lord and all that he's done, then he becomes the comforter when you call on the Holy Spirit to come in. He becomes that comforter, and then he begins to teach you other things as well. But the unsaved, like those people were on the day of Pentecost, he was doing those three things to them before he became their comforter.
Another verse I found this afternoon, which we've all heard many times, but it was kind of worth rehashing, is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, talking about the gifts, the diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. I'll read that real quick. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministrations, and the same Lord. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God who worketh all things in all. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith in the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healings in the one Spirit, and to another workings of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at the one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. So the Spirit can have many manifestations, but it's all for the profit of the body. That's something we need to keep in mind as we study this.
Okay, I'm kind of in the middle here, so they got on, Denny and Debbie got on, so anyway, they're on my phone, computer wouldn't let them in. Where are we at? Right here? Yeah, Leah. You had your hand up, you got to talk.
I was just saying, here I are. You said, where are we at? Now, here I are.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This verse in verse 7, and I'm just going to bring it up. I know everybody probably knows the answer, but he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why is it expedient for them that he goes away? Judy, you look like you got the answer. Yeah, Malcolm.
Well, somehow, apparently the Holy Spirit couldn't be poured out in the same way while Jesus was there physically. That's the way I understand it, but I'm not sure why that's the case. Anyway, there's something about Jesus going back to the Father, but what it says in Psalms and other places is that he went to receive gifts for men, even the rebellious among his people. And I guess it's not say from among his people, but he went to receive gifts for men. And so, but apparently the gifts, he went to heaven to receive the gifts after his ascension. So I don't understand why it needs to be that way. It'd be nice to have Jesus here personally still, if you know what I mean.
Amen. But
sounds like with the man child that it'll at least accomplish that partially, and it'd be nice to have him personally here. of course. Yeah. And you know what's interesting too is he said, I've been reading, by the way, 14 John. I just started reading John 13 through. I've kind of gotten through 14. I've been reading very slowly, a little bit every day, and just thinking about it. But why? I'm just wondering as to. I guess I lost my train of thought right there, but I'm just so impressed with the. It seems like a tremendous interest that Jesus had in making sure that what Jesus had coming, that what he had coming from the Father was fully available to his disciples. And I've just been thinking, I guess, about the and also listening to David's, you know, his it's a rerun that he just was just broadcast or sent out on Sunday, posted on Sunday, where David's talking about perfection and sanctification and holiness, and you know we've posted, UBM has posted that recording before, but it's so, I was just thinking about how important it is to Jesus to have his people sanctified and come to the fullness that he paid he went through all this trouble, and who of us could ever understand what Jesus went through at the cross and before that time, and to achieve these incredible gifts for men and especially the sanctification. And it just seems like this is one of the highest priorities for Jesus, and I'd like to have that priority, the same priority that Jesus has for that in myself and those around me. So anyway, don't want to waste Jesus' effort for ourselves and those around us.
Amen. Well, let's see. Now, if Jesus stayed here, he would be limited, wouldn't he? He would be limited how he could physically, where he could physically go. And let's take a look at it in that respect. Anybody want to expound on that? Go ahead, Missy.
You know, I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking about saying something. Yeah, he would be limited, and it would be like, Missy's little way of saying this. He would steal the show. He wanted, and not that he's, but it's like everybody would look to him, but he wanted all of us to come into his image and do the same things that he does. And if he was here, it'd be almost like, because you know how people nowadays and even back then slowly got to the point where they put someone on a pedestal. And I mean, he deserves to be put on a pedestal. But what I'm saying is he wanted all of us to function and do the same things that he did, especially the brothers, you know, and with especially when you think of the whole idea of the man-child ministry. So I'm just thinking, you know, he had to go also, and you know, like it said, he said so that the Comforter would come, and the Comforter would come in and give all of us the power, especially, you know, the men. And so that's just trying to think if there's anything else that came to me, but that was my thought. Yeah, he would be very limited, like you said. And you know, it the Lord can do more if he is multiplied through many men having the Spirit, you know. greater things. You know, there's greater things as in far as greater miracles, but greater amounts too, because the Comforter is coming, is sent, and is going to be in everyone to give them the same power to do the things that he did. Anyway, I don't want to be repetitive, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
Okay. So. All right, Leah.
In that same regard, probably what would happen if he stayed is that we would always go to him. Gather a bunch of us on him all at once and want him to tell us, want him to show us, rather than study the scripture to find out how he did things. We would be relying on his word, his physical word, you know, and we would, pretty much what, Missy was just saying, we would not be studying on our own, but we would be ganging up on him, so to speak.
Okay. Did you have a respond to that, Missy, or are you going to bring something else? Because Malcolm has his hand up too.
Yeah. What also came to me was in the thought of him, the Lord being multiplied through many of us, you know. God didn't want just one son. He wanted many brothers. And that's like it says in Romans 8:29, he was the firstborn among many brethren. He wanted many brethren, not just one son. He wanted many sons of God.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Malcolm.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, in harder cases where we, you know, maybe we don't see an immediate answer to a prayer or a situation that we're needing help with, often we'll go to Michael or David for prayer. But there's only two of them. And, you know, that's, I know with Torben, of course, they have a big problem too with people trying to, they want to be baptized by Torben, or they want to be, you know, prayed for by Torben, or that, you know, there's just that tendency there. And when, you know, when Jesus showed up with the disciples, we discussed this before, but the disciples couldn't cast out this particular demon. And, Jesus got pretty upset. And I already mentioned this, but he was pretty, it almost sounds like the way he said it, he was, how long shall I suffer you? And that doesn't sound real good. How long shall I suffer you? And I think it seems to me that he was, well, he said right out, right, that he, you know, where's your faith? He wanted the disciples to have enough faith to do their job. And at that point, they clearly didn't have the faith. And that was very upsetting to him. And he did the same thing out on the boat. He said, well, where's your faith? The lack of faith was, did not make him a happy camper. And I think the tendency for us to go to the more higher power people that have faith, I'm not sure that's the best route. I think, you know, we need to be doing what we need to do so that we have faith, so that we're not always dependent on somebody else that we consider to be higher power or closer to God, or, you know, the great man of God type mentality that's so common among a lot of Christians. It's not just in our circles. So, sometimes it's easy to sit back, go on with our lives, maybe not be spending the time with the Lord that we need to be spending so that we can deal with stuff. Then the crisis comes, and here we are, we're stuck, we don't have the faith, and now we go to the high power guys to fix it. You know, I don't think that's good. It's a weak, God really calls us to make disciples, and for those disciples to make disciples and to be full-fledged, you know, everybody be, you know, walking in the Spirit.
Amen. You brought out a good point there. there comes a time when everybody's going to have to step out on their own and use your own faith. It's always good to have somebody there to help you, you know, to believe with you. That's a powerful prayer. But sometimes you don't have anybody and you just need to believe yourself, right? And I believe everybody ought to pray for himself or his family and utilize God-given faith that he's given all of us. And well, I'll tell you what, when you do that, you're going to see miracles. Yeah, go ahead, Denny. Can't hear you, buddy. You might have your phone muted. I don't know. You're not muted on the conference call, so it has to be your phone if you're trying to talk. Ah, okay. All right. Anybody else? Also, if Jesus is all we've got, he's in one place, and he can't be but in one place at one time, right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. He can minister all over. Hey, Don, go ahead, brother.
Well, if Jesus is still here after 2,000 years, that means he's spending all this, with all the parables he would have had to continue telling, because he said he only spoke to the people in parables. He'd only speak to, open to the disciples. So we'd have a real problem over 2,000 years.
Amen. I believe it.
Yeah. We'd have a Bible that wouldn't be completed yet, apparently. And all these parables we'd have, we'd be drowning in parables in 2,000 years.
How many Gospels would we have, Don? Unlimited, huh?
Yeah.
No, I think he had a plan, and the plan worked fine, just like it is.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? On the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, George. Can't hear you, bud.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Turn that down, Moose. To Malcolm's point, I think what we've had with this fellowship, even though a lot of it is online, is an example of biblical elders shepherding and growing people up so that we can have the faith that can one another, each other, and come in agreement. And if we can't get a hold of somebody we know that's having a lifestyle of results or an intimacy with the Lord, or, you know, it's helping. It's like signposts where you are putting a rock, building an altar on where your experience is and what your experience was, and then taking people down that path and showing them, this is the altar I built on this experience. And by sharing, you know, we all see in part and know in part. And I think that's what Jesus was saying too, that it's expedient that he goes, because he knew that there was going to be a scattering. The, you know, like the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. He knew that Israel, or the believers of the time, were going to be spread throughout the world. And that, again, what we have amongst each other is building each other up on faith and experience. And as things progress and as more grace is poured out on us and revelation, that we'll be able to help other people avoid pitfalls and grow up faster. And however the harvest comes at us, we are going to grow into eldering and shepherding and one anothering, so that that head can lead the body. You know, we're all parts, and Jesus is the head. He is the one good shepherd. And it is very encouraging, I guess, to see the longevity of this ministry and the foundation of just the storehouse of the word, that all of the teachings and the revelation, just something to chew on when you don't know what else to do. Maybe it's encouragement when you can't get a physical brother or sister, to be able to just dive into some teachings and get in the word and ask God to even develop even the word that we've had in the past to help, you know, in wherever we are, to make it fresh manna, basically. So I know I went in about 8 different directions, but it all, what you all have been saying for a while, has kind of helped me and tied it together for me to realize that there's a living, breathing body of Christ, and that we can find a way to contact each other and celebrate when one's celebrating, and mourn when one's mourning, and just be there for each other. So that's about my 4 minutes.
Amen. Well said. That's good. Yeah, we all are part of the body. And that's everything works together when all the parts are there. Go ahead, Don. Do you have something you wanted to share, Don?
That I already did.
Oh, okay. I'll mute you. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Lynn. I'm sorry I didn't see you till just now.
Michael, I would be interested in your take on that John 16, 8 and 9, or no, 9 and 10. The sin, the righteousness, and the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind sharing with us what you think?
Well, let's see. You put me on the spot here, has it? That's okay.
Well, I'm trying to, but.
Okay, well, let's just go through it. And when he has come, will convict the world in respect of sin, and in respect of righteousness, and in respect of judgment, just like you said. Of sin, because they believe not on me. What's he talking about there? Well, because they didn't believe on him. There was no faith in him at all. That's what I'm thinking. And because of that, see how I can talk and make it sound right. The Holy Spirit, that's his job, is to convict, isn't it? It's his job to bring us in and to help us to see our sins and that's the only way that I can see it right there. Because they believe not on me. Because they don't believe him, they don't have any faith, I guess. And I don't know. I'm just rambling here. Let me see what... let me go on down through here and just see what it said. Okay, look at 13. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He's going to convict the world at judgment, won't he? They'll know at judgment because they denied the Lord. The Holy Spirit's already told them and worked in them. The Spirit of truth has come. He's going to guide you into all truth. That's for those who believe. The ones that don't believe are not going to be, they're going to be going to judgment. And I just see that as the Spirit of God is working only in those that God has called and bringing them into the kingdom. What do y'all see? I'm going to try to give you a little bit of hint. Go ahead, Andrew.
I got to say one of my favorites. So it's just on the other page in John 14, 26. And it says there, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So you know this Spirit of truth is going to definitely come, because he's going to remind you of it. He taught you of it, and he's going to remind you of it. It's supposed to come up at that right point in time when you're being tempted, actually, and it just pops into your head, hey, this is not the Lord. I'm going to cast this down right now. And he reminds you even of the verse, casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And, you know, to be reminded of things that are in his name, there's that nature, character, and authority that you're supposed to have of Christ. And we have that name also in Christ, because that's what we were given, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So,
amen. So if that goes along with 13 there also, if he's talking about respect of sin in the world doesn't care about Jesus. They don't got nothing to do with Jesus. All they've got their own deal going here. But it's us that has that conviction of sin. We have the conviction of sin. God's called. And of righteousness and of judgment. Now, when judgment comes, they're going to know, aren't they? They're going to know the truth. That might be what he's talking about then. I'm just throwing it out there. What do y'all think? What do you think, Andrew?
Well, it also says, of course, in Romans 1:16 and 17, that the finishing end of that says the righteous shall live by faith. And so righteousness is always, he that is righteous doeth righteously even as he is righteous. There's that verse with the triple barrel righteousness. And so that righteousness is also part of the Lord Jesus Christ that's put on you. And you guard that deposit, and he guards it for you too. So by him guarding it for you, he's going to actually bring you the remembrance of this.
Amen. And I see something else in here too, in 8, when he has come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, but what about the man-child when he's come? They're going to be so mad at that guy because he's going to bring conviction upon them. And they know that their judgment is coming. And they don't, you know, I believe that's what it's talking about. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you behold me no more. He ain't going to be around for them to look at, but the man-child's going to be here. Just like Jesus. So he's going to be convicting them all of sin. That's why they're trying to kill all these martyrs. I'll kill all these witnesses when the time comes. Anyway, that's just my little bit of knowledge on it. Anybody else got something on that particular verse? Yeah, Paula.
Just got a question, and but it's not, it's on verse 13 that you talked about earlier. But I just want to know where it says, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak. Can we expound a bit on that? What does he mean when he says that the Holy Spirit shall not speak from himself?
Yeah, he speaks from the Father. He tells us everything that the Father tells him to do. He follows the Father. The Father tells him everything to say. He's not gonna expound on anything by himself. The Father is telling him everything to do. Just like, remember what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? He said, I won't do nothing that the Father tells me. The Holy Spirit's the same way. Remember, Jesus is gone. Now we got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to say anything that the Father doesn't tell him because he's the Spirit of the Father. Go ahead.
That's what I wanted to ask now. But if he is the Spirit of Father, you know, I'm just a bit confused about that. If he is the Spirit of Father, you understand what I'm saying? Then it's not a separate entity. Does I understand?
I'm sorry?
Am I correct in saying that the Holy Spirit is not a separate entity? He is Father's spirit.
Yeah, that's the Father's spirit. It's not a trinity. Mm. It's the Father and the Son. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit that comes from the Father, the Spirit of the Father.
Yes, but that's why I'm asking about this verse, because it can sound like it's another, you know, third entity that listens to Father. That's all I'm asking about the way it is phrased here.
Mm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Mm. All it says is, for he shall not speak from himself. I don't know. I don't know about that. Go ahead, Leon. He's got the answer.
Well, the very next verse, verse 14 says that he shall glorify me, and he's not going to glorify himself. Because he's the Spirit of the Father, he's going to glorify the Father, and he's going to glorify the Son, but he's not going to glorify himself. And there's a lot of songs out there in the general public that say that the Spirit should get glory too, and that's not true, because he's not to glorify himself, he's to glorify the Son to us, and ultimately the Father as well. So
right.
So if he was a separate entity, then he could glorify himself, but because he's not, he doesn't glorify himself. He glorifies the Father and the Son. I don't know if that helps or not.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. He's the Spirit of the Father, and he glorifies Jesus. Jesus glorified the Father. So it all goes back to the Father. Even though Jesus is his Son, a person, and the Father is the person, the Holy Spirit is just that. He's the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is not a person. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just going to say that if you look in 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you that that all things will be put under Jesus' feet until the time of the end, and then after he defeats or after he abolishes death, then he turns the kingdom back to the Father, okay? And he takes his place of submission. He's no longer seated at the right hand of God, but he takes a place of submission to God the Father, because everything is completed then. So if you look at that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, I don't know what it is, 23 or something like that, or read on. So anyway, it's in there. But it shows that he becomes submissive himself. So he's no longer a co-equal with God, so to speak.
Well, he never did say he was co-equal with God. He always said that God the Father was, you know, above him. Yeah, Andrew.
And there's always that verse that we all should know and well know that you should ask and receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It also mentions there that you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So that's just something you got to ask for, because he also tells you in 14 and 1 of 1 Corinthians that follow after love. Love is chapter 13 here. And it's also a gift of the Spirit, and it's a fruit of the Spirit too. And yet desire earnestly the spirituals. So this is when you're asking for this Holy Spirit for these spirituals. That's all, you know, just like in the verse way back there in Matthew that I told you.
Amen. The Holy Spirit's function, of course, is to lead and guide us and to teach us. And the way he does that, David talks about it in, I forget what book it is. I think it's Man, Child, and Bride. He talks about that in there. Also about the Holy Spirit's function. I don't remember what chapter it's in there, I think. And I forgot what my train of thought was going on. I jumped off that train again. All right, anybody else? Now, let me ask you this. Is it necessary to make it through this holy walk that he's got us on, this perfection walk that he's got us on, to be able to walk that holiness that he wants us to without the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I think Paula had another question before you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't see. Go ahead, Paula.
Sorry, Michael. No, I just wanted to say, could one also say that the fact that he doesn't speak from himself and the fact that he says that he glorifies Jesus, the Word, that the Holy Spirit will always speak Word to us, or it will be in accordance to the Word, so that we can be safe in knowing that when we get a revelation or we get a word, that it is from the Holy Spirit, because it checks out with the Word of God.
That's a good way of putting it. That's absolutely correct. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you better throw a suspect on it. That's good. Thank you. Yeah, Leah.
That would be how you test the spirits to see whether they're of God or not. You know, we're instructed in, I think it's 1 John, to do that. So the only way you can really do that is if it matches up with the Word, like you're saying. Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew.
And Jesus did say, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life.
He said so much that you can't put it in all the books in the world, can you? Well, I'll tell you what, you held up the Bible. How many of you know that that Bible's got more in it than what you see with your natural eye? Y'all ever heard of the Bible Code? There's all kinds of histories in there. Your history's in there if you make it. Bless God. Your history's going to be in there. And that's the good part of your life, not the bad part. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's also this proverb that says, the tongue is a tree of life. But yes, a breach therein, but a breach therein is, I think I forgot it.
It's Proverbs 21, isn't it?
Yeah, the tongue is a tree of life, but a breach therein is a breach in the spirit, I think it says there. Yeah.
No, it's in 18.
So in your tongue, there is a tree. There's a tree of life back there in the book of Revelation there. There's fruit in there, you know. There's leaves on a tree too, you know. So you can speak life into another person's existence. And that's what we're all really wanting to do, is to speak this salvation life into other people's lives. You know? And
Amen. That's right. All right. Anybody else? What do you think, Barry? You didn't know I was going to call on you, did you? All right, man. He's a man of few words. That's what the proverb said, wasn't it? Okay. Anybody else? I was sitting here thinking about how when we all fellowship together, and when we fellowship together and we get in the spirit, everybody gets in the spirit at the same time, and you get in one accord, is that the Holy Spirit working? Of course it is. It's God working, the Holy Spirit working in us, putting that glory on us. You know, I've seen in the spirit, I've seen angels pouring stuff on people, you know, while they were praying or singing or whatever it was, praying mostly. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes people can feel a sensation, you know, a glory sensation, and makes you joyful. Makes you real joyful. And, of course, that's the Holy Spirit working in us too, I believe. Holy Spirit's an encourager, isn't he? He's an encourager. As we should be an encourager. Hey, Leonard. Yeah, first time we've seen you in a while. Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there, praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to have you on tonight, brother.
Yeah, it's been good. I listen to y'all. It's too bad I can't be on it live, but I do listen.
That's good. That's okay. We're glad to have you. Thank you, brother.
You know, since I'm on here.
Yeah, you got a bad connection. You
could just go ahead and request some prayer for me and my family.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'd like to request some prayer for me and my family.
Okay.
I guess just really laboring under a lot of oppression from just, I guess I'd say demonic oppression, really. It's been real rough. And we've been kind of going through that whole thing that you guys all suggested, you know.
Yeah.
Casting down strongholds, and you know, we went ahead and did the whole thing as a family where we just all sat down with all our kids, my wife. We just kind of took out some pieces of paper and started. Can you hear me, or am I breaking up?
No, I can hear you. Your audio is a little bit messed up, but I can make out what you're saying. Go ahead.
I was saying that we went ahead and did that whole list thing where we list all of our problems and temptations and things that we struggle with. And we, you know, each and every person went through that. And we just did it as a family. We've never really done anything like that before.
Yeah.
And, but it just, it's been a real trial for us, you know, because we're seeing, we're sensing a lot of oppression. It's just getting to be pretty tough.
Yeah.
And at one point I honestly kind of lost hope. I mean, it was just getting so hard. I was getting so beat up, and it just like this subject today where we're talking about the Holy Spirit and what it does for us. To me, like, I don't know what it means to me is, like, you know, convict the world of sin, you know. And I just you know, the Lord's been just showing how much worldliness is in me still, you know. Even though I'm in the world, I'm not of this world, but yet the flesh is still there. And who else is going to convict us of that except the Holy Spirit? Are you still hearing me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we can hear you.
That's what it means. It's, you know, it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting the worldliness and flesh in me, and he's also the one that's confirming in me the righteousness of God, by which, you know, and he gives us that internal knowing that we are God's and that we are saved, and it's by his Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father, you know, even though we see how wretched we are and how many mistakes we still make, you know, he still gives us that internal knowing by his Spirit that we belong to him and that he loves us. And I wonder if, you know, he convicts of judgment, you know, as we come into that image of Christ, you know, he convicts the world around us for rejecting God, because we are the proof that, you know, God is powerful to make us stand upright and be free from sin. And everyone around us is convicted because they can't overcome sin. You know, they know that they're sinners, but they can't overcome. And we're the proof that we can by his Spirit, you know. So I'm starting to see that too. And but anyway, I could definitely use some prayer.
Okay.
So that God would work out, you know, this work in us to the fullest, and that we could really overcome. You know, there's a lot of things I just don't understand. I just don't understand, you know, spiritual warfare. I don't know a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure where to start, how to say things or how to pray things correctly. I just never done it, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're just doing it how we know, and it's been a trial. Well,
I'll tell you what, brother, you got a bunch of believers here. We're going to pray for you, and I'm going to continue praying for you, and you and your family. Y'all are dear to our hearts, and I know that God's got a call on your life, and I'm going to actually bring it up in the morning meeting. And we'll be praying for you in the morning meetings, also the prayer meetings. So we're going to believe.
Yeah, we would definitely appreciate some, you know, words from the Lord or some encouragement. You know, it's
okay.
Just, yeah, it just seems like the whole world just wanted to turn upside down on us. You know.
Yeah.
It's been so rough, and we were going through some struggles. You know, before we visited y'all in February. Yep. And it seems like, you know, things just kind of tenfold increased over the last few months, you know, just really rough.
Yeah.
It's really breaking us. It's really humbling us. It's really causing us to give up our flesh. And that's a good thing. So we're in that sense, we're really encouraged. And, we just don't know if we're missing it somehow, you know. We feel like we're just crying out to God's mercy, and we're not really sure if we're doing it right or what.
Yeah. Well, he said just endure in your faith to the end. And that's,
yeah.
You're going through struggles, and I know your struggles, a lot of them, and I know it's hard, but there's...
Well, are we in overtime already?
No, we've got plenty of time.
I'm sorry to be taking so much of your time, but
no, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, I didn't, you know, I knew that I had some rejection in me and all that, but as of late, the Lord really exposed how deep my rejection, that spirit was in me. It's, I've had some, I just started to realize how much of my life has been under that affliction, and I've been having to deal with a lot of issues. You still there?
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
Okay.
We all listening.
Okay. And my screen's just blanking out, but just realizing how much rejection I've had, how much unforgiveness I've had in my life. It's just the Lord's really exposing here a bit, here there. And I'm having to go back. My wife, we've been talking to our families, we've been talking to our siblings and trying to make things right. I know I spent like 4 hours talking to my mom and dad about the whole rejection thing and how much, you know, I've held against them all my life, not really understanding that that's what I've been doing. And so, I mean, we're trying to expose everything and be completely transparent. And the more we do it, the more struggles we're all at you. So anyway, that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, you're on the right path. Let me see what George has got. Go ahead, George.
I can wait if anybody else wants to interject, but, I just want to encourage my brother and anybody else that, keeping things simple and not expecting everything to just explode and line up automatically, obviously, but definitely keep plugging in with your brothers and sisters. The fact that you can talk with your family so openly about these things is a greater blessing than a lot of us have. There's closed doors and hard stuff to get through with our families, and the fact that you can be so vulnerable and open, you know, God is the author and the finisher of your faith. What he has started, he started a good thing in you. He is faithful to finish it. So the burden is much lighter than you realize. So don't live under a heavy burden, but just realize that grace, your humility, is bringing grace into all of these situations. And in his good time, he's lining up so much resources, so much protection for your family. And he is dismissing the enemy. And we're going to be praying, like Michael said, continually for the enemy to be dismissed. Every assignment being dismissed in Jesus' name. And that great grace is being shine down on your, or it's actually rivers of living water, because we teach and we preach the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. Rivers of living water are flowing out of all of us, and it's flooding. It's just like in the days of Noah. We are actually flooding the evil world with grace and with the kingdom of God. And God is definitely working on your behalf, and he is going to flood you with joy that replaces every other worldly joy. And your family looking maybe to have some excitement in the world, God is wholly and sovereignly replacing what the world would call fun with a kingdom power. And there's never been a fun like what awaits you and your family in the harvest. He's preparing you to be very strong, honorable vessels to hold his power in the harvest. So do not grow weary in well-doing, but keep persisting and holding on, and just a passionate fervor for all of the things of the kingdom of God, because if we seek first his kingdom, he is adding all the other things to you. So he's working out a great patience and joy and so many good things in us. And Father, we thank you for always being on time, and we thank you for the multitude of thoughts towards us. Father, we thank you that we are so safe in your care. And Father, I just encourage my brothers and sisters to just lean in on you, Lord, like never before, and to trust you like never before, and to know that you've called us and that all things are working to the good of us who love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that, George. Then I receive every word of that as a, just a prophetic word from the Lord. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Father. I'm going to read something here that I got off of Odin Hedrick's website. He said, a sinful soul uses the body for satisfaction in temporal sinful pleasures, but a redeemed soul, being delivered from ingrained sin, is united with the Spirit, and while enjoying the things of God in this life, looks forward to spiritual pleasures in eternal heavenly bliss. And that is so true. This temporary flesh thing that we have is nothing compared to the bliss that we're going to have as we shed this flesh and shed the world away from us. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, what George said there is something about waiting on God or whatever reminded me of what Angelica had posted on the blog. It was titled something like, Why Does God Make Us Wait, or something like that. It's like 8 minutes. And
I don't guess I saw it. Is it something recent?
Yeah, it was like maybe a week ago or something like that at the most. Something like that. I don't know, but it's really good. I think it would be really encouraging for everybody.
I don't have it. Well, get it. Anyway, while you're looking for that, I'm going to pray for Leonid also. And Lord, we just lift up Leonid and his family and his wonderful family, Lord, and we thank you for Leonid. We thank you for the trials that you're putting him through, because I know that the flesh is peeling off layer at a time, but it's coming off, and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that are coming for Leonid. Matter of fact, they've already here. We just are believing by faith that this family is going to be sitting right with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now. Because of the authority you've given us, I command this oppressive spirit to leave that family right now in the name of Jesus. You go in Jesus' name. You don't have any right there. I command you to go. But Lord, I thank you for the continuing work that you're doing in this family, that you're shedding all the flesh in the world away from it. And I praise you, Father, for the time when the sunlight hits, and I believe it's tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them relief from this oppressive spirit. And I'm asking, Father, that you put joy and rest in their life right tonight. And Lord, that they all get a good night's sleep tonight, and that the joy of the Lord be in their hearts from this point on. Father, and I thank you, no matter what happens around them, that they will have the joy of the Lord to know that you're there with them, Lord. And I thank you for that, because that's what your word says. Your word says you're not going to forsake us. And we thank you for it, Father. And I praise you for the work that you're doing in Leonard and his whole family. In Jesus' name. What's that? Your oldest boy's name, Jesse?
Jesse, yeah.
Yeah, okay. How's he doing?
He's doing all right.
He's
going through a lot of trials himself.
Yeah.
A lot of growing pains.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
He's almost 11?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see what you're doing, Missy. How long is it? What happened?
It's like 8 minutes.
Go for it.
I hope that the sound comes through. Can you hear it?
Nope.
Why God makes you wait, if you could look it up.
Okay, we'll do this next time.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. There's a thing that you have to check mark on the share page that allows the volume to come, audio to come in real good. But anyway, does anybody else want to pray for Lynn and his family while we're still here? Well, Lord, I thank you for hooking up all of us by the Spirit and this golden thread through our hearts and pulling us all together with Lynn and believing for his family, Father, that this trial is soon to end in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you put it in our remembrance every morning to say a prayer for Lynn and his family and to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to be praying in the Spirit for you too, brother, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that this trial is almost over. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And just like George said, we hang in there until we see it go. Because we know it's done. In Jesus' name. I just appreciate your fortitude and your perseverance in there, Lynn. I know it's a hard trial, but God's there. He is there. I believe it.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Thank you all.
Okay, brother. And I will be bringing it up. And yeah, Leon, go ahead. I will be bringing it up in our prayer meetings quite often.
I just wanted to say hi to Leon and tell you that I love you, brother. Amen. And I miss you. And, you know, I'm praying for you, too. I pray for you every day. And now I've got something to pray specific about you. So I'll do that, too.
Amen.
Love you, too, Leon. Miss you.
All right. Thank you.
Hope to make that trip back down to Tennessee sometime. Soon.
We're looking forward to that.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, anybody else? I'll be looking forward to the visit when everybody gets to come down here and visit us. That'd be so cool. See, Joe and Nora and Dirk and Paul is going to have to be translated over here. Praise God, that'd be a cool too. That'd be a cool trip. Don't be surprised if I show up there, Joe. I'm telling you now, Dirk. Don't be surprised if I show up. Y'all get ready. You take them clothes. You can take them coats off because it's hot in Tennessee. We'll bring you back here. We'll just have us a party. Praise God.
Hey, Michael, Monroe's coming pretty soon.
That's right. He said he was, didn't he?
Yeah.
When is that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Is he coming on a train? Amen. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about? Hey, let me, Lynn, did you get to see that YouTube thing with Odin Hedrick and his 80-plus visits to heaven?
I started on it. I haven't finished it yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, that's an encourager for me. I'm looking forward to getting up there and seeing Jesus. I don't know about y'all. I got me a condominium right there at the throne. And got me a 10-acre plot out there somewhere, too. I can watch them angels work at garden over while I sit on the porch drinking iced tea. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Lenny. Hey, brother. Okay, anybody else? We got a little bit of time left. Joshua. Hey, buddy. You go. Boy, look at that boy. He's grown up some. He has really grown a lot. Thank you, Lord. Where's that boy? I can't hardly see. Is that your wife? You know how they wave in the parades? And they like that. Praise God. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about or talk about before we have to move out of here? Let's talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and His job and all the things that might come to mind. Just study a little bit in the Word of God about the Holy Spirit this next couple of days, and maybe Thursday night we can get a little bit deeper in the Holy Spirit. If that's all right with y'all. If not, we'll just do whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do. I'm sure He wants us to talk about Him too. Amen. iPad Judy, you got something you want to say, girl? Huh? You look like you're ready to say something. You look like you're ready to bust about to say something. You gonna sing a song for us?
No. Did you want to say something? No, we were just talking and just looking.
Okay.
At
all right.
Sorry.
We were looking for Joshua.
Yeah. Is Joshua? Yeah. Is he just on by phone?
Huh?
Joshua, is he just on by phone?
Well, it was an iPad. It looks like an iPad that Lynn had that he showed him. They're crawling around there.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Not now. You can't see him now, Judy, because he's off.
Okay. So
that's Leon over there crawling around his kitchen. I'm just kidding. There he is. Almost. I see a hand. There he is. There's Joshua. Hey, buddy. Thank you, Lord, for putting your angels all around that boy in Jesus' name. Oh, gosh, what's your name, girl? I forgot your name. What's your name, Lyndon? Leon, you remember her name? Oh, what's your daughter's name?
Leanna.
Leanna. I was thinking Leanne, but it's Leanna. Okay. Hey, girl. How you doing? Hey, sweetie. You ready to go back up in that tree house? And up that tree stump?
She's still waiting to go on that tractor ride.
Yeah. Amen. We're going to have it ready next time she comes down. We'll take her for a ride. Her and Jesse went on it. Jesse was able to get on it. First, she went on it for a little ways, didn't she? No. Yeah, she went on it for a little ways.
Jesse right there.
Yeah.
Didn't she have the no boys ride?
Yeah, with Natasha. She did. She had the no boys allowed ride. But Jesse and Lexi and Natasha and Isaiah out with Ben, went down and got up in the trees and just had a good time down there. That's my job here, is to ride the kids on the back of the tractor. All right. We're about out of time. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit, and maybe we could talk a little bit about end time stuff if y'all'd like to also. We'll just be led by the Holy Spirit. Joe, are you leaving in the morning?
Am I doing what?
No, I'm talking to Joe. Joe DeBrazzi.
Yeah, after the Bible study. I thought I'd stay after the Bible study. So
okay.
I took a nap there and I didn't time myself, so that's why I'm on late.
Okay. All right.
I'm headed back home and grabbing my stuff. For those who don't know, the Lord has opened the door. So I start a new job next Tuesday. I'll be working with Matt. And, it's slowly but surely, it's like he's been opening the door here, the details are starting to work out. And, yeah, I'll be a local member. So,
yeah. Where's your new job?
CBG.
In Madisonville?
Bon Or.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's short for commercial vehicle group. They make seats for commercial vehicles. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for blessing everybody that's here with deliverance and complete cleanliness. And we thank you, Lord, that we're being led by the Spirit, and to wake up in the mornings to ask to be filled with your Holy Spirit, and then ask the Lord Jesus to take us by the hand and lead us that day to do the things that he wants us to do and not what we want to do. And Lord, I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing Leonid and his fine family, and we just praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody here tonight as well. And we thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful brothers and sisters that we get to fellowship with every Tuesday and Thursday night, and sometimes on Saturday night. And we praise you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless y'all. We'll see you Thursday night. Let me see here. Unmute everybody.